ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठो 9 टेक्स्ट Chapter 10, Text 55, Translation and Commentary. By His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prema Anuvritya Shilena Prashraya Avanata Sati Bhya Kriya cha bhava nya bhartuhu sita aharat manaha. Premna nuvritya shilena Prashraya vanata sati Bhya hriya cha bhavagya Bhartu sita haran manaha Premna nuvritya shilena Prashraya vanata sati Bhya hriya cha bhavagya Bhartu sita haran manaha. Prema nuvritya shilena God Bhagavan, put this off. Bhya hriya cha bhavagya Prema nuvritya shilena Nuvritya Shilena Prashraya Vanata Sati Bhya Hriya Cha Bhavagya Bhartu Sita Haran Manaha. Premna nuvritya shilena Prashraya vanata sati Bhya hriya cha bhavagya Bhartu sita haran manaha. Devis Premna nuvritya shilena Prashraya vanata sati Bhya hriya cha bhavagya Bhartu sita haran manaha. Premna Anuvritya. Because of service rendered to the husband with love and faith. Shilena, by such good character. Prashraya, Avanata, always very submissive and ready to satisfy the husband. Sati, chaste. Bhya, by being afraid. Kriya, by shyness. Cha, also. Bhavagya, understanding the attitude of the husband. Bhartuhu, of her husband, Lord Ramachandra. Sita, Mother Sita. Aharat, completely captivated, simply captivated. Manaha, the mind. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy, and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus, by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. Purport, as Lord Ramachandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yad yad acharati shreshtas, tat tad evetaro janaha. Whatever example a great man sets, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the examples we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there would no longer be hellish conditions within this material world. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Om Jnanatimi Randhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manumapi Shachi Putra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Vandeham shri guru shri atav pada kamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishaka Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday there was some discussion among ourselves of how Rama was like a Rajarshi, a king, but with the attitude of a rishi, although the attitude of a king and the attitude of a rishi seem to be starkly opposite. One is very much involved in the world and with enjoying it, and the other is detached from the world and not interested in enjoying it. So where's the semblance? Rama set the example of living as a king amid all opulence, but not being attached to it. In this way he was a Rajarshi, and he set the example. We have the word Shikshayan in the previous verse. In this way he taught others In this verse also, Srila Prabhupada quotes, as he many times does from Bhagavad Gita, part of a verse at least, yad yad acharati shreshtas tata devetaro janaha, that whatever great persons do, common men follow in their footsteps. And the example that Lord Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita is of Janak Maharaj. Janakadayaha, Janak and others, but specifically the name is mentioned of Janak Maharaj. Now we may think, well, why Janak, why a king when we've got so many Brahmanas are higher and more renowned than kings, aren't they? But the Brahmanas, they are maybe in some sense too high for the common people to follow the example. The dharma, artha, kama, moksha, these are the four goals of human life in the Vedic system. Everyone is supposed to follow dharma, especially that is incumbent upon the brahmanas and kshatriyas. But artha, the brahmanas, they're not very much interested in this. They keep aloof from that. Yesterday I discussed a little bit about that. But the king is very much concerned with artha, with money. Not only of himself, of the whole kingdom. If he's a good king, he organizes the society very well so that it's very prosperous. And in that way he becomes prosperous because he gets money by taxing the citizens. And good organization, there's so many aspects to it. Seeing that the infrastructure is there. Nowadays when we think of infrastructure, we think of highways and internet accessibility and all this kind of thing. But dams may be needed. Protection from floods may be needed. Administrative infrastructure is required. You have to have the proper people in the position. You have to see that everyone is engaged in their duties and keep the peace in the kingdom by administering justice. And in this way the kingdom can flourish. You may have good... there are so many things to see. There may be good agricultural produce, but then merchants are also required to move the produce from the fields to the cities. They make a profit, they're interested in artha, in money. They make a profit, but that arrangement has to be there. And the merchants are protected from robbers. So much infrastructure is required. So the king is very much involved with the world, whereas the brahmanas, they're not very much involved with the world. They're supposed to be otherworldly. There's a word in English called otherworldly. They're more interested in the world beyond. Although they do activities, performing yajnas for the benefit of the people, and even the rishis in the forest during their austerities do it for the benefit of the people as well as for their own liberation. Karma, the king is interested. He may have hundreds of wives. The brahmana, he's not very... That's the major symptom of the brahmanas, which makes them difficult for common people to follow. Because common people are very interested in karma. They're very interested in satisfying their desires, but for the brahmana, he's just the opposite of that, because tapasya is the wealth of the brahmanas, austerity. And he may dutifully engage in sex life with his wife, but under the principle of dharmaviruddho bhutosmi, bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshava, dutifully, not lustfully. This is the ideal. But actually they have to follow the ideal, otherwise their mantras in the yajnas won't work. They had to be very renounced. And moksha, the brahmanas may be interested. Not all of them are interested, just like these two boys are not interested in listening to the class. There are materialistic brahmanas also who are very interested in going to the heavenly planets. But the best of the brahmanas are interested in moksha. And the kings may think about it, yeah, later I'll leave all this and go to the forest. And vaishyas and shudras, they're not interested. So setting the example, not in moksha. So the setting the example is practically done by the kshatriyas more, because people can, the vaishyas and the shudras can relate to them more. They're people like us who live in the world with money and family and all this, but brahmanas, it's almost, they're like too high for the people to relate to. So the yad yad acharati shreshta, this is the example is given of Janak Maharaj and now of Ramchandra, how people look up to them. They're supposed to be Rajarshi, that even if they do live in opulence, and the ideal example is Lord Ram, of being, he lives among it, Yatha Yoga, that is the word used by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami. You enjoy the world as suitable. You live among your opulence as is suitable. But internally one should be renounced from cultivating a spirit of detachment from all this thing. So that example is set by Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now is described the character of Mother Sita. Different role. Brahmanas have different roles in society to play to kshatriyas, who have a different role to vaishyas, who have a different role to shudras. And although they're not included in the varnashram system, even the chandalas, they have their part to play. They stay outside the village, but someone has to take away the dead bodies, right? The dead bodies of the cows also, they take them away. There's no such thing nowadays because the dead bodies, anyway, slaughterhouses. Cows don't die. They used to say they'd die in the field and then the vultures would come, and but that doesn't happen, and you don't see it anymore because cows don't die natural deaths in India anymore. Maybe in UP, you see the wild cows running around in the fields. The old cows have been turned away. So what is the link then? They all have different duties. The link is dharma. It's considered acceptable for a vaishya. He's actually supposed to be very interested in making lots of money. If he's a businessman type, there are different kinds of vaishyas. There are the krishi, goraksha, and vanija. So generally krishi and goraksha, they go together. And vanija, business, those who are interested in business. Business is, it also performs a service to society. Just like that, you buy the grains wholesale, there's some arrangement from the farmers, and then you bring it to the city, and then you sell it, for instance. And there's, of course, there are so many different goods. They perform a service, and they take some profit, but then to be excessively greedy, it's hard for the vaishyas to balance that, because they may become excessively greedy. So they're also supposed to give in charity. And that idea is still going on. We see among the Vaishya communities in India today, there's still many of the Maharis, they're still in business. And even if you see the young up-and-coming businesses, they're not traditional business, just like this Bhavish Agarwal is making his Ola 10,000 women factory. What's his name? Agarwal. It's a new business, it's not a family business. And then I saw someone, he was a founder of Zomato or whatever it is, it's a home delivery food, is it? Something like that. And he was, I think he was a Goal. It's a new business, but who's doing it? It's the Maheshwarians, the Agarwals, you don't know in South India. Well, you do, they're here too, right? Not so much. In Salem, not much, huh? A few, everywhere. Where there's money to be made, there are Maheshwaris and Patels. You're not a Patel, but you're a Gujarati. And Jews. I'm not saying anything anti-Jew. If you have to be careful, you say the word Jew, because people think you say, but no, they have that feeling for that. So they are allowed to make money, and they're expected to do that, and they perform a service to society by doing that. Giving employment, for instance. Giving electric, what do you call them, scooters or something like that. That's supposed to be a service to society. But at the same time, they know very well they have to give in charity. It's still part of their culture, just like they have the culture of making money, but they know they have to give in charity. It's meant for all householders, but especially those who have lots of money. That means the kings, they have to collect the taxes and then they have to again distribute like rain. They keep grains. Now the government of India keeps grains in stock, and when there's a shortage, they're supposed to distribute it. If it hasn't been eaten by rats or rotted away because it's not looked after properly, or it hasn't been sold on the black market. But they still have, despite all of that, they still have stock. But the kings are supposed to do that. They're supposed to have a stock, and then if the rains don't come and there's not enough stock and they can't import from somewhere else, then they have stock to distribute and see them as... So, the point I'm making, the Vaishyas, they have that spirit to accumulate wealth, and they may do so by cheating also. I mean, they're not supposed to according to Dharma, but depending on what kind of business they do, the Vaishya communities of India are known for cheating. But then they give in charity. Because they have the understanding, I have to give in charity. I'm doing so much part by making money, so I have to give it. I have to give in charity for building temples. And now they think that Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, so they prefer to build hospitals. But still that spirit is going on, of giving in charity. So the idea, everything is regulated by dharma. What is the link? Selflessness. The brahmanas are considered highest because they don't indulge in sense gratification. They're not supposed to. And that we see also. If you see real brahmanas still, they're not very interested in having lots of money and a big house. I mean, and they're more interested. It's just like the... Are these five men, are they really... Are they really brahmanas? Are they kshatriyas? What are they? This Drupad Maharaj was wondering. So bring them in, set two tables. One is with yajna materials, one is with swords and shields and all things. And immediately the Pandavas, when they come in, they went to the table with the swords and said, they're kshatriyas. Is this their natural interest? They're not interested in the shruga and the shrava, and that's for brahmanas. So the brahmanas, they're the highest because they're the least interested in sense gratification. And the shudras, they're the lowest because they're the most interested in sense gratification, to the extent that there are not that many rules governing them, and then for the chandalas there are no rules governing them. That's all. They just live outside the city and they do whatever they damn well like and no one gives a damn. And they can fight with each other, they can kill each other, they can do whatever they like, but they're outside the Vedic culture. So the least one is interested in sense gratification, the higher one is. And the different varnas, you're allowed so much sense gratification. And then if you go too far, that's not good at all. For even in the Bhagavatam it said if a Shudra drinks alcohol, that's hardly even considered a sin. But if a Brahmana does, oh, that's very, very, very sinful. And Kshatriyas can do according to the rules, they can do, not just go out and buy a bottle of brandy and Not like that. There's a way of doing it. It's all regulated. But the thread which goes through it all is selflessness. We're reading about Sita today. Yesterday, Rama. We hear Shilena by good character, the good character of the wife. She renders service to the husband with love and faith. She understands his mind and acts accordingly. The word there is bhya, with fear, which Srila Prabhupada translated like that in the word for word translation, but not in the verse translation. It gives an idea of submission to the husband, like this. Prashraya avanata. Avanata also means, what does it mean? Any studying Sanskrit? Avanata means? Means bowed down. That's literally means bowed down. So in an attitude of submissiveness. Chaste. These are all. Now this is the Stri Dharma. And that is supposed to be for all the women in all the varnas. Whether if their husband's a brahmana, then they're a brahmana. They have to, and usually they'll be married from the same caste because they're raised like that. They have that culture, and so on. It really, if a woman of higher caste marries a man of lower caste, it becomes very difficult because she feels herself, her culture is that she's been raised in is superior. So it doesn't work out. That's called pratiloma, which could almost translate as going against the grain. In English there's a saying, going against the grain. Because if you rub this way, then all the hairs, they follow. Now, if you rub this way, then all the hairs, they go back. That's this pratiloma. It's uncomfortable. So that doesn't work out. So selflessness, that is the thread. The wife is selfless. And the husband is, if he's like Rama, then selfless. Actually, the woman's role is very conducive for Krishna consciousness, because you're trained in the beginning for selflessness, service to others, duties, dharma, duty. What Lord Ram did, he acted out of duty. What I have to do to uphold dharma in the world, selflessness. I'm not here to enjoy the world. The opposite of that is Ishvaroham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. I'm the boss around here. I call the shots. Ishvaroham aham bhogi. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. I know what I'm doing. Siddhoham, I'm perfect. Balavan, get out of the way. Sukhi, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm on top of everything. I'm in control here. So this is the demoniac attitude. And of course, we also have in the description of the qualities of the Kshatriyas, Ishvara Bhav, that's described as a demoniac quality, but it's also described as one of the qualities of the Kshatriya, that they have the feeling, yeah, I'm the leader. That can also mean that they have a feeling for the Supreme Lord. They should be what we call in current terminology, servant leaders. But leaders they are. They have to take charge. So this taking charge of others, it gives one the opportunity to exploit others. And practically the political and social history of the world, for the last 100 or 200 years, it's characterized by, well, Marx saw the class class struggle. And now it's gender struggle and all kinds of struggles going on. The whole idea that someone's on top, what are they doing on top? Kick them out and make everyone equal. And when you kick them out, you become on top because you led the revolution. And you don't want to give it up. And people naturally look to you, you led the revolution, so you should, and then they become on top. And then the next wave of discontent, and they want to kick them out, and it goes on and on and on. The women, in their women's liberation, they wanted equality. Now they've got disparity. The women have more, they call it rights, but it's not really rights. If someone has more facility than another, it's not really a right, it's a privilege. Women have privilege under the law in India and in most countries nowadays. They're not complaining. They were complaining when the men had privilege, but now they've turned it upside down and they have privilege. All they have to do is go and complain in the police station with no evidence whatsoever, and their husband and their in-laws, they just get arrested. No, just the woman said, that's all. So it's not a very good law. It doesn't seem to me to be a very good law. And I don't have a wife, so I'm not in the position of being always in fear of getting incarcerated just because my wife didn't like the way I sneezed this morning. But you know what I'm talking about? You have to be careful the way you sneeze. Your wife wouldn't do that. But there's always the fear, right? You know, you just don't know. Just don't know. I know a devotee couple, very good devotees in America, very committed to following Dharma and everything. And then one of them got in the association of the women's rights group of devotees, and then she changed completely, threw him out of the house, and divorced him, and he has to pay for the kids, he can't see them. It's a common story. So many misunderstandings which come from thinking, I am this body and I'm here to enjoy this body. Vedic culture is based on the understanding of, not everyone may understand it, I'm not this body. Everyone has an idea about it. Because even the not everyone is going to study the Upanishads. Not even all the Brahmanas study the Upanishads. But Puranas are there for everyone. And even if not Puranas, there are so many stories. You have all these stories. That's all. What's that? The Katha Saga. This, what is that? Huge collection of stories. I don't remember the name now. And nothing very, very spiritual about them. But they're all kind of stories. How people, they do this, and they do, and they do this, and then they get such and such a body, and then a yaksha comes and attacks them, and they kill the yaksha, and some heavenly being comes out, and he says, I'm in this body because I did in my past life, I did, so it's like that, all the stories in traditional Hindu culture, they usually go over several lifetimes, multi-lifetime stories. So everyone has the idea. And yeah, I'm born in a Shudra caste, and yeah, let's join the CPIM, or the CPI. They're all equal, but they're fighting with each other. And then they come together and make the Bam Front in West Bengal. It's called, the Bam means left, anyway. Hare Krishna. So the whole idea is that we're oppressed, but in Vedic culture we understand, no, you're not oppressed, it's you got this position because of your previous life's activities. And now they come in and say, this is very prominent, I believe, in the Tamil atheism. See, the Brahmanas, they say this just to oppress you. They say that they've got a better birth and they're privileged just to oppress you. So they throw out all this belief in reincarnation, and you only got one life, and live it to the full. Go make a revolution You die in the revolution and I'll take charge. Thank you very much. Just like that, they had this Taliban took over in Afghanistan. And so many people lost their lives fighting for the Taliban, but the leaders, they're sitting in, now they're in charge, right? They send others, go and fight and die for your country. Or in this case, die for the Taliban. And yeah, we'll fight and die for the country. Other people are fighting and dying for the country, but the leaders, they're not dying for fighting for the country. They're sitting very happily. So it's cheating, cheating, and cheating. Everyone's cheating. So the brahmanas are also cheating. It might seem like that, but it won't seem like that if the brahmanas actually live in a detached manner. And it's seen that they're not exploiting others. It's, of course, history is very complex, because what happens is so many lands are donated to the temples, and then the brahmanas, they become more like landowners or little kings than they administer their little kingdom. It may not be very small. They're administering the land. It's not actually their land, it's the deity's land, but they administer it. And they may become more like kshatriyas, and then they're not doing they're busy ruling and this or administering, and they may not be doing their Veda Pata and Yajnas, or not, their emphasis isn't on that. And then people think, yeah, we're being exploited. Who are these brahmanas? They're saying we are higher, we're very holy, we're close to God, but we see we're working and they're just telling us what to do, and they're living very comfortably and we're not. So then discontent will come. Therefore kshatriyas are needed, who are allowed, they're not only allowed, they're supposed to live very opulently, to be set high above others. But they're also seen as representatives of God, Narayanam cha Naradhipam. The king is the representative of God in human society. But this can be maintained if there is selflessness. As soon as the spirit of personal enjoyment comes in, then the seed of destruction is there. And that's absolutely true in spirit. We're just talking about social life here. But in spiritual life, as soon as the seed of material enjoyment comes in, everything finished. We see in individual devotees, like, the seed of material enjoyment is there in everyone's heart. But that is supposed to be purified. Cheto darpana marjanam. By hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, and not indulging that seed of material enjoyment. Therefore we have the community of devotees. It's very intense. It's like being in a pressure cooker. Being in the brahmachari ashram, it's like a pressure cooker, where you get cooked so you can be offered to Krishna. Not fried. You have to know how to cook properly. You have to feel the heat. But that heat, that should be purifying, just like the example is given in the Upanishads of the iron rod is put into fire and it attains the quality of fire. So the brahmachari ashram is supposed to be very intense. It's meant to be like that. If you can't take it, you can go and get cooked in the grihastha ashram. It's a different kind of cooking. And you can chant Hare Krishna. You should go on chanting Hare Krishna. But it's meant, Krishna consciousness is meant to be intense. It's meant to be a purifying process. There is varnashram, okay, you have varnashram and the dharma, artha, kama, moksha and all this kind of, but in Krishna conscious varnashram, it's supposed to be tivrena bhakti yogena. It's supposed to be intense for everyone. And there are different levels, that's understood. But we see that this intense cooking, that is meant to burn out material desire, which keeps us in material existence. The whole varnashram system is meant to allow people to live at their present level of contamination, but become purified. Doesn't the idea is that not that everyone's going to be immediately a pure devotee, but engage them in a way the society is based on cooperation, so that cooperation means the exploitation spirit, manipulation, that is minimized. That shouldn't be there. Ram is the ideal. We can see how it may be very rare if Ram is held up as the paragon of that. It may be very rare. We praise Rama so much, but then every king is supposed to be like that, but it may not be. Nowadays, of course, the rulers, they don't have any idea of this. They might think of the good of the country. I think we can safely say that the Prime Minister of the country at the present time is not acting out of the desire, maybe desire for name and fame, but he's not putting thousands of crores in his back pocket. We're pretty safe. He's thinking of the good, but unfortunately, anyway, he didn't read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam commentary. He could do a much better job. But people, they tend to trust him on that basis. They don't think he's filling up his own pockets. So that gives trust. If the king is living in such a way that he's clearly acting for the benefit of others, and that's why also yuddhe chapi apalayanam, he has to go into fight to protect from invaders or whatever, and then he has to be prepared to give up his life. So people know that. Yeah, he lives opulently, all right, but he's ready to die for us. So that they respect. But when this spirit of personal enjoyment comes, material desire, then everything starts to deteriorate. And we see that individually. We were just discussing yesterday that one devotee was living in the ashram. He was feeling too much pressure. Let me go outside. I'll just live outside and I'll go on with my service. But then he doesn't get the power to do the service, because that intense atmosphere that gives us spiritual strength, and we don't get it. If we go outside, and then we don't get it. And then go outside, marry, then you live with a wife in Krishna consciousness, and you continue. That you can do. But if we give up our spiritual practices and we think, well, I'll just take out of Krishna consciousness as much as I want, and I'll put in as much as I want, and I'll put in less and still get the same output, it's not going to work. If you want to feed the baby, but you think, now I got so much, I bought 2 liters of milk, I have so many babies to feed, so all right, let's just water it down. So the babies, they don't get the same strength. You have to give the full strength milk. You may think it looks the same, the baby's drinking it, but they don't get the same strength. We have to take the full strength program to get the full energy. And if we can't take the full strength program, we may adjust down, but in Krishna consciousness, Varnashram, it's not meant for sense gratification. Right? You don't have to, you already know that. Right? Dharmasya hi apavargasya. You know that, right? Karmasya nindriya pritihi. I'm not saying anything that fantastic revelation. It's right. We study it every day, right? Right? In the second chapter of the Bhagavatam is discussing about Varnashram and the definition of dharma, and it comes to Savai Pung Sang Para Dharma, but it also discusses the Varnashram, but it's not meant for sense gratification, and that lesson goes on right through the Bhagavatam. The Nunang Pramata Kurute Vikarma, etc. You all know the verses, I hope. I know them, so I think you should know them. What's that called? Atmavan manyate jagat. Anyway, you should all learn all these verses. So selflessness, that's what do you have to learn in the Gurukul? You have to learn all your verses, right? Learning all your verses. Well, there are still people who study so many verses, but really to know so much is not the main thing. Srila Prabhupada said that Gurukul is meant for character formation, as we see here in the description. Where is that? I can't see it. Is it there on the board? No, it's going to go up. You have to go up. Anyway, Shilasya. So anyway, you know the word. Is that in Tamil? Shila. Shila means of good character. Shishta is a similar word, meaning of good character. So what is that good character? That's based on selflessness. That there may be people of very good character who are not Krishna conscious, but still we can say they're basically of good character. Of course, then you have to come to another verse, Harava Bhaktasya Kato Mahanguna. He didn't say they don't have any qualities. It's just that their qualities, they may have good qualities, non-devotees, but they don't become Mahanguna, because it's just in a... It's like being the now, how to say this? I can't say in a politically correct way. Like being the fastest runner in they have that, the Paralympics. And then you're the fastest runner, but everyone's going on crutches. And so, so you may have good qualities, but it doesn't become great qualities. I'd probably get blasted for that, for being non-politically correct. Anyway, I hope you get the idea. We love all the, what are you supposed to call them? What are they called nowadays? Spastics, disabled, differently abled, divine, divyanga. They call them divyanga now, divine. If you want to become divine, you just break your leg. That's the modern way of thinking. Divyang, vikalang, they used to say. Now it's divyang. So this selflessness, we praise people of good qualities. People may have good qualities, but that should be engaged in Krishna's service. But if we don't have that, then whatever else we may have, then it suggests that our Krishna consciousness is not at a very high level. We may chant so many shlokas, we may jump up to the ceiling in kirtan. We may be a very good organizer and make so many centers. I made so many devotees. I made them. They're my devotees because I made them. I initiated them. They're my property. Get out of here. They all belong to me. So this attitude, what does Srila Prabhupada say? Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. What is the attitude? Krishnarte akila cheshta. Everything is for Krishna. One, just like the king, he administers the whole kingdom, but he does it for Krishna. That's why he's ready, the actual Rajarshi, he's ready at any time. All right, Parikshit Maharaj, you have to die in 7 days. Okay, I'm out of here. He can drop it immediately. That means he didn't have any attachment. Lord Ramachandra, you're going to be the king. Okay, sorry, change of plan. You have to go to the forest for 14 years. Okay. Whatever's my duty, that's all. Whatever you say. Because he doesn't have any personal plans. Even in the name of Krishna consciousness, we can make personal plans. I will preach, I will develop, I will make so many followers. And in India you can get away with it because people are stupid. Excuse me. I did say that. I'll explain it before you all kill me. But you won't because you're stupid. All right, Alex. People tend to blindly follow people who are called spiritual leaders. In that way, stupid. Don't mind me saying so. That's why you see people who are very intelligent. They've take as a guru someone who's clearly bogus. I mean, you don't even by seeing their face you can know they're bogus. You know, you don't even have to listen to what's their philosophy. You know, they're just completely bogus. But people are, you know, very highly educated, but spiritually stupid, incredibly stupid. So it's very easy to exploit people in India in the name of religion, because people are pious. It can be dangerous being pious. It's very dangerous, actually. It's more dangerous to be a complete skeptic, but if you get the wrong leader and you're pious and you piously follow, then andhayata andhayarupaniyamanas, you piously follow all the way to hell, blindly following. So that has to be seen, selflessness. And it's quite possible to talk the talk of selflessness and be personally motivated. That's why the brahmanas, again, traditionally they have to live very very simply. And then no one can, they have the highest position. They're most respected, but no one can fault them because they're clearly not doing it for sense gratification. It can become problematic in Krishna consciousness, where leaders, they, following the example of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they build temples, they administer, they have money, they have jurisdiction over so much money, and they have a lot of temporal power. It's not new. That's been there since there were mutts. The Shankara was the first in what we nowadays call Hinduism to start mutts, but that was actually started by Buddhists. They started having their viharas and their mutts and their universities, and then there's organization and there's power and there's a position. And someone can be very saintly, but someone can be very materially motivated also, even in a spiritual position. And that's problematic. We know at Kanchi, the Chandrasekhar Endran was revered for being, because everyone can see, he's a sadhu, he's completely selfless. But after him, it's not the same. In Udupi, Pejava Swami, Vishveshwar Tirtha, he was much respected. He was very learned, but he was respected not only for his learning, but he was clearly a sadhu. He had so much temporal power, and even more because people respected him so much for being such a great sadhu, but he didn't misuse it. He clearly didn't misuse it. And so people, they could see, they were happy, they were confident to give money to him. And because they knew that he's not going to use it for himself. I have been reading the Prabhupada tributes book that disciples of Prabhupada, they write offerings to Srila Prabhupada every year. Dhanadas Swami wrote something about Srila Prabhupada, that although many gurus went from India to the West, so many got victimized by women. They may not have had that intention. They may have, in their own minds, sincerely gone to the West. Some of them are just out-and-out cheaters. But there are others, they may have wanted to do something good in their own estimation, is Mayavad and this and that. But so many got victimized by women. But he noted that Srila Prabhupada, even though he had so many young women disciples, there was never even any subtle trace of the exploitive spirit or the sexual enjoyment spirit. That is unusual. it's a very difficult position to be in, the position of a guru, unless one is spiritually strong. But we're training up these Gurukul boys. The English saying is, the child is the father of man. You train the children and they become fathers and they become leaders of society. Everyone's a leader in some way. The man, you may say, well, he's just a factory worker. He's not, but he's a leader of his family, supposed to be. Everyone has a responsibility. So the Gurukul boys now then, in future, they should be gurus, not Gurukul. They should be gurus. Should be. That's natural. But how can they do that properly unless they have to imbibe at the beginning the attitude of selflessness? That's why there's Guru Sushrusha, the spirit of submissive service to the Guru. And they will imbibe that if the Guru is selfless. And practically your teachers here, they are acting as your gurus. They're selflessly teaching you, nothing material for them to get. So that if you imbibe that spirit of selflessness with the confidence that whatever they tell me to do, I should do, that's all. And then you can be confident to do that, because you know, they're not doing it to exploit me, and they're intelligent people. They know what is better for me than I do myself. So in this way, the Varnashram culture is maintained and maintained and perpetrated of generation to generation. That spirit of selflessness. But when the spirit of enjoyment comes in, or personal motivation, then everything gets spoiled. Individually, in the society of devotees, it may be in an ISKCON temple, maybe in the whole ISKCON movement. If the spirit of enjoyment, I'm here to do what do I get out of it? That I have to think. Okay, I'm doing this, but what do I get out of it? When that spirit enters, then the seed of destruction is there. It may not manifest grossly for some time, but that will be the spirit of destruction. So the attitude of, I'm here to serve without any personal requirement. Now it's understood everyone may not be on that standard, but those who are living in the Brahmacharya ashram, they should be. Brahmacharya ashram is meant for selfless service with no personal interest. And I'm not just talking about the Gurukul, the older devotees are there also. We're all here to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. And then as soon as we start thinking about my interest, then everything becomes very complicated. Society becomes very complicated. All human dealings, everything becomes very complicated as soon as there is personal interest. Even among devotees, there may be politics. There is politics. You know, just forget all this PC talk. There is politics. Why should there be politics? We should come together and say, hey, look, we've got to serve Prabhupada, right? Yeah, so what do we do? What's the best thing to do? Discuss, and then we decide among ourselves what's the best thing to do, but then someone has their own interest. No, it's my project, I've got to do this. When my project, I have to show myself to be better than others, and what am I going to do when I get older? I have to make some arrangement for that. And of course, within the Vaishnava society, we should do that, but I'm just making the point, as we're thinking about our own interest, then things don't go smoothly and nicely. So this selflessness, then it can be perpetrated generation after generation. The gurus can give shelter to others if they are selfless, because we come for shelter. We came to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet for shelter. Unfortunately, many people left the ISKCON society because they felt that they were not being sheltered, they were being exploited. I don't think anyone blames Prabhupada. There may be actually just a few who actually blame Prabhupada, but more often they'd blame others. They didn't see that selflessness. And it's not easy. We have to be realistic also. We can't expect that everyone who's in a leadership position is going to be growing wings on their back like the Christian angels. The Mohammedan angels also, right? They also have angels. Right? They're probably angels somewhere, but I didn't hear about them in Vaikuntha, maybe. Well, anyway, we can't expect them to be absolutely perfect, but there should be seen there's a basic spirit of leadership means they're leading us toward Krishna according to Srila Prabhupada's direction. And that way they can give shelter. Ramchandra, Kshatriya, he's giving shelter to the citizens. They felt protected. Kshatriya, who protects from harm. We come to a guru, we expect shelter. Shelter from the onslaught of material existence. But we have to do our part also. We can't expect the benefit of having a guru without following the instructions. So devotees are coming. They like to come to ISKCON Salem because the devotees here, Gokul Chandra and others here, they're cooperating selflessly with the idea, let people come and serve Krishna. Krishna has given them the spiritual strength and the spiritual intelligence that they can act in a way, cooperate in such a way that others can come and feel this. I can surrender myself here. I can click in here and I'll be benefited spiritually. Because there's an attitude of not just selflessness, but service. Over and above selflessness, it's service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. So this selflessness, which is that is inculcated in dharma, varnashram dharma, and that comes to the next level in Krishna consciousness, where we're not just selfless, not just nishkam, but all desires are directed toward Krishna. That's without personal desire, and all desire directed toward Krishna. And every Vaishnava should give shelter to others. Children now, they're just the children, but they have to come up and give shelter to others. And it becomes easy if the example is there. It becomes natural. In the Western world, there's a lot of confusion, even among our devotees, about gurus and this and that, and how submitting yourself to a guru. But at least in this culture, it's a very natural thing to do. Just like it's a natural thing, someone is born as a male, and they're raised as a male, and they live as a male. And someone's born as a female, and they're raised as a female. But now in the Western countries, and it's coming to India like everything, you're born as a male, do you want to be a female? Yeah, okay, go get an operation and inject you with hormones, and just completely insane society. And probably I could get arrested for saying that in the Western world, completely insane. And people, they're unhappy. How can you be happy? Even materially speaking, how can you be happy? You know, am I a man? Am I a woman? You're a man, right? What's down there? You're a man. Okay, that's the... who is that? The one who killed Bhishma? What's her name? His name? Shikhandi. Shikhandi. Yeah. You're a man or a woman? Okay, let's check. Oh, he's a man. Oh, okay. All right. He was a woman before. No? Oh, okay. All right. That's cited sometimes. He's born as a woman and became a man and then... Hare Krishna. But they didn't have a sex change operation. It was by the blessing of a yaksha. So if you can find a yaksha to bless you, you can have a sex change operation. But then it's not recommended either. It's not for everyone. But then he was trying to fight as a kshatriya. But Bhishma, I'm not going to fight with this transgender. What is this? It's cheating, right? He's in the Olympics and he's changed gender and he's cheating. Bhishma, I'm not going to fight. Arjuna, yeah, I'll fight with him. I'm not going to fight with this. Why are you a woman or a man? I'm going to fight with you. I'm going to fight with you. I don't have anything to do with them. So people are confused even about whether they're a man or a woman. And there's just everything to be confused about in the world. It's everything, the whole society is totally confusing. And the most basic thing you think you wouldn't be confused about is whether you're a man or a woman. They're even confused about that. I mean, they're really in a mess. The society is a complete mess. We don't even you don't even know whether you're a man or a woman. It's and it causes so much suffering and so much psychological. The world needs Krishna consciousness. It needs some basic. It's not even got basics. Even basic sanity is a rare thing. Of course, everyone in material consciousness is insane, but what they call civilization is cultured insanity. And I'm using the word cultured like yogurt culture. It's like they're cultivating it. The more insane you are, that's a sign of being very advanced. Completely insane society. I mean, even I thought when I was a kid going to school, the whole society is insane. And it's gone through two more generations of Varna Sankara. It's like already Varna Sankara, and then it's Varna Sankara cubed, and you put, and then that mixes with cubed, and that comes to the level of nine, and it's like on the chessboard, right? You put one grain, and then you put two grains, and then you put four grains, and then you put 16, and then you put 256. I don't know what comes after that, but after a few more. You have more grains than can be found in the whole world. So it's like there's geometric, what's the exponentially increased insanity. So the world, Sita and Ram, sorry, you're in Kali Yoga. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, call for his mercy. Come and sort out all these insane people. We're supposed to do that. We ourselves are trying to get unwound from being insane, and we're given the task of making the whole world sane. We need a lot of mercy. You better go on doing those kirtans and jumping through the ceiling. They made the ceiling very high here. It's hard to jump through the ceiling. And if you try too hard, they'll put the fan on them. This is the solution. Chant, dance, and surrender to Krishna. It's a very simple formula, but people's brains are so messed up. Apart from the social thing, they eat the food and it's full of poisons and that messes their brain up and it's all full of hormones and what can you do but scream? But if you're going to scream, scream, Hare Krishna! Krishna, save us all! And hear about Sita and Ram and some sanity. But it didn't last long, right? They were married and then after a few years they had to go off to the forest. It's insane. It's completely insane why Ram had to go to the forest. It didn't make any sense whatsoever. He argued it's according to Dharma. Okay, he said, he's Ram, and he convinced Lakshman. Lakshman wasn't so easy to convince. But it's crazy. Why should Ram go to the forest? It doesn't make any sense. Of course, he wouldn't have any Ramayana if he didn't go to the forest. And the whole point of him coming to this world to kill Ravana, that wouldn't have happened either. So maybe Mantra, she wasn't so bad. If the demigods were like prodding her in the brain, come on, tell Kaikeyi, tell her, go on, tell her. And then, so the demigods wanted Ram to come to kill Ravana. That had to be, but Ravana is also, it's insane, completely insane. He's very respectable and powerful, but everyone in this world is insane. It's just, but there are degrees of insanity, and in the present world is so crazy, so. You build a temple, and then that looks, that's very solid, stable, right? It's a symbol of solidity, stability. And who's inside? God's inside. Oh, so everything in the world is changing. He doesn't change. Okay, bow down. That's the beginning of sanity. And people in India up to the present time, they have enough, there's still some sanity that they'll come to the temple and bow down. That's a good start. So it's very, the temples are very, very important. People have to come and bow down. And even if they do nothing else in their life, that will carry to their next life. That will be their... Yamaraj, no, he went to the temple and bowed down. Okay, send him off to Swarga, he can dance with the Apsaras, and then next time he'll get another chance. No, Yamaraj, cheat Yamaraj. There's one of the 12 Mahajans, we want to cheat again and again. Yamaraj, all these people, ha ha, okay. Of course Yamaraj is not feeling like that, the Yamadutas are feeling like that. Oh, Kali Yuga's coming, ha ha, we're going to have a lot of fun. Get your axes sharpened up. Or maybe not too sharp, because if it's sharp it cuts them easily, and if it's blunt then it hurts them more. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes. Kali runs away. So chant Hare Krishna. Make Kali Yuga recede. Drive it away. It can be done by the Sankirtan movement. But we have to be devotees. We have to be selfless. Give everything to Krishna. Nothing for ourselves. That should be the attitude. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha. Kripa sindhubhyascha. Patita nam. Pavanebhyo. Vaishnavebhyo. Namo namaha. Dante nitaya cha. Padhyanipatya kritvacha kakushatavita hum bravimi he sadhava sakam goranga chandra charne parivada tu hari rasa madhira madati mata hare krishna 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 hare